Hello and welcome to Dvorak Horowitz Unplugged, an hour-long discussion of activity in the financial markets around the world, featuring columnist John C. Dvorak and money manager Andrew Horowitz. This conversation is casual and unrehearsed. Let's join John and Andrew now.
I'm John C. Dvorak.
I'm Andrew Horowitz.
And here we are as the month starts to wrap up.
Yep, the year is almost half over.
It's June 28th, 2011. It's raining here.
Oh?
Yeah, well,
that's something.
It's unusual for California, which is a desert state, to have rain when it's almost July. Rain usually ends in February, March or April.
I'm certain it's the Republicans' fault.
Yeah.
You need to pass a budget in California so we won't have the rain anymore.
I think they're working on it.
Yeah. Lots of doings, huh? We got some excitement in the world markets. I mean, we have riots in the street, unfortunately, in Greece. We have the United States and most major markets not giving a hoot about any of that. We got some exciting technology announcements from some more exciting than others, from Google and Microsoft. Where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with Office 365, which seems to have boosted the stock a couple points.
Yeah. Have you looked at it? Have you checked it out?
Well, I know.
Oh,
I'm not even interested in it. How about that for a concept?
Let me tell you what it looks like. It looks like, from the outside, a pay-for Google Docs, Gmail, and Gtalk application.
Oh, wait a minute. Let me get this straight. So it looks like Gtalk, Gmail, Google Docs, the Writely, which is what it was originally. It looks like those things only whereas it's free. Whereas it's free with Google,
yeah.
You have to pay for the Microsoft version.
Right. I mean, you have Google Docs, which admittedly Microsoft Word and Office are much better, much more robust in the regular disk version, the computer version.
Yeah, but how about the online version? I
will have to see if it's just as robust. You know, I don't know how it can be because you have to link to – it's possible, but you have to link to different things sometimes when you use, you know, very advanced spreadsheets. And then you have the – they're using the link system for communication, like MSN Messenger.
Right.
And they're using – what else do they have there? They have – so they're using also, a virtual, inbox like Google Mail. So it has all the components – that Google has, but you pay for it. So I'm not sure where – there's got to be some other integration with your regular Office applications, but I'm not quite sure why you'd pay that extra money for it.
Hmm.
Collaboration, you have that with Google Docs, right?
Yeah. Google does everything. I'm sure that the word processor itself may be more powerful because Microsoft's Word is pretty much the end, the bee's knees, as it were.
Right.
I don't know.
And I'm sure Excel is better. I'm certain of that, too.
Excel really. Has to be. The online Google for spreadsheets almost useless.
And, you know, then you have some storage and you have a few other things in there. But I still don't think that's going to be let's put it this way. It's not going to be a replacement for things like Salesforce, which is a contact management system, a CRM system, a relationship manager. It would possibly be for security purposes and integration with companies that already use Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I could give you that. You know, that use the whole Microsoft system and then there's the ability to do that. But so far, I don't know. I'm not understanding what the application of this is. Is it an alternative, an absolute alternative, or is it an add-on?
I think it's supposed to be an alternative. I think there's an absolute, it's the idea is that, Microsoft's fearful that one of these days, people are going to stop buying packaged software and they're not going to want to download it or anything else in between. And that is going to be the end of Microsoft. So this is a defensive product to at least so they have something to so they're part of the cloud system so they can brag about it. Oh, I'm a cloud. We're all clouded up. And the market, obviously, the investors thought that it's a good thing.
Well, there's also the commentary that there was some rumors that Ballmer was stepping down. So that was also
that boosted the stock.
No, but I think the thing that really drove this, not today, but yesterday, was the announcement that Windows 8 would be released early, much earlier than anticipated, and not in stages and in a step process, but all at once. That was a big issue.
Hmm.
So I don't know if the 365 was really something, but it's possible. It's possible. But again, I think really it's probable that the Microsoft products from the word processing and all that and whatever else is there is much more robust. I'm certain of that. But at the same time, you have OpenOffice for those that are using freebies that works pretty darn well. You have Thunderbird for email, or you have Google email. You have all sorts of free email applications online. And I don't really understand the point. I don't know who this really targets.
Well, we'll find out. I mean, I guess I'll have to start to think about it and look at it and write my thoughts.
Yeah. Google also has some big announcements. Not to be outdone by Microsoft. Google Music came out a few days ago, or a few weeks ago, at least the beta.
Yeah, I was playing. I signed up for that.
Mm-hmm.
What's
that going to be good for?
Nothing. I didn't see any use for it personally. I mean, I don't.
So it's another little fun app.
I mean, I keep my MP3s and my CDs, and I have a shelf. Seems to be effective. I don't know.
Well, I don't think they had – I didn't see the place for podcast there.
Yeah, well, there you go. If they don't have podcasts, then the whole thing is useless.
Useless.
I mean, I had this Chevy Volt, and, of course, all the cars have this. And the Volt, I was driving a bunch of people around in it, and one guy says, well, where's the hookup for the iPod? And there was a USB port inside the glove box. The box in between the driver and the passenger, they, whatever those things are called. And that little area, you know.
What do you call that?
There's a name for it, and I can't think of it.
It's an elbow box.
There's a box in there.
It's a central console box. Okay.
Console. So there's a plug in there, so you can plug your iPod in there or whatever you want to plug in there, and it'll play it through the system, and you can listen to your podcast that way. And it seems to me people really do listen to these things. We have a lot of fans of this show.
Yeah, absolutely. No question about that. We know that. I mean, not just from the show. I mean, people listen to podcasts. I mean.
Yeah, they do. But once you get into it, I mean, not everybody does. But my experience is that when you're once you get into podcasts, you find that they're a better form of information than the stuff that is broadcast over the commercial airwaves, which are tend to be tedious and commercial filled. And even the NPR stuff now is filled with commercials. And so, mm-hmm. I don't know.
Well, if anybody that wants to check out the new Google service, it's a music service. It's a beta. You can sign up and request it, and they'll probably give you an access to it. You could basically upload your collection onto their system and utilize the free music that they have as well with about 20,000 songs. Now, the downside of this is this. First of all, there's no wireless or wires or syncing because you're just using basically their cloud service to play your music. That's all that is. The second thing, though, is there doesn't seem to be an app for iPhones or other things except for Android, which I guess you would expect. But you can put up to 20,000 songs for free right now. So Google's not charging for it.
Yeah.
And then Google also announced their new and improved, once again, trying it for the second time, Google Plus, which is going to be supposedly a direct competitor to Facebook.
I think I signed up for this thing. And I think I have a profile on Google Plus.
It's kind of interesting. They made it kind of snazzy.
If you call this snazzy, I'm looking at the page. It's horrible, actually.
Well, that's the demo page I sent you.
Oh, okay. Well, it looks like crap. Yeah.
Yeah, you can zoom in and out. There's all sorts of weird things you can do with this. But they have things like if you go to these things called circles. I guess we've got to get used to what these names are. These are sharing different things with different people, sharing the right stuff, blah-de-de-blah. There's something called Hangouts.
Hangouts.
You get the unplanned meetup comes to the web for the first time. The unplanned.
Never heard of anything like that ever happening.
Yeah, so basically I'm going to go into a room, a virtual room, and put video on and talk to creepy people that are just getting in, that are also going to a room that have nothing else to do?
Muggers.
Virtual muggings
or chat roulette. Hey buddy, put your pants on.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point. I mean, how do you regulate that kind of stuff? You know, you got to join the hangout. What am I gonna? I'm like a
hangout.
like skulking around looking for somebody. Then I got instant uploads, which is you could take photos and videos and share it and just click it and it goes right up to your page. Then there's something called Sparks. Yeah, I got all these fun names.
Tell Sparks what you're into, and we'll send you stuff it thinks you'll like. What?
What is that?
This is going to send you products in the mail, or are they just going to send you a link to something?
You go, let me see, I just click the button that says fashion. Now I click here. I'm going to click the little magnifying glass, the search glass says, ah, wouldn't you know it? It's things that I can actually buy.
Oh.
And things that are on the buzz. So they're incorporating their buzz. And there's something called Huddle. What's that? Huddle. Texting is great, but not when you're trying to get six different people to decide on a movie. Huddle turns all those different conversations into one simple chat. So everyone can get on the same page at once. Your thumbs will thank you. So you could do what's called, I guess, a multi-chat. How? That's not that unique either, is it? Doesn't Skype do that?
Yeah, Skype. Well, Skype, I think it has a minimum of four, maximum of four, unless you pay extra money.
So that's why they came up with five or six.
Six, yeah.
And all this is for Android. I mean, of course. And then they got, yeah, I do agree that some of these, it's, I don't know. Go to google.com/plus/demo, and you can see what's going on.
And it's not plus, it's the plus sign.
Yeah.
Make a note of that.
Yeah. Oh, so that was what Google came up with and in the face of Facebook and trying to see what they could
it
do.
It just looks, it doesn't even look Google-like. It looks like, it looks a little too contrived. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, contrived. Like they're really trying to be cool, but they're not.
Yeah.
And but they whereas Facebook maybe evolved into something that is user-friendly and it's kind of a thing that you can utilize and it's a natural extension of what you would do in the movement. This is like they really worked on it.
Yeah, this is like the I'm reminded of the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Oh boy.
Which became a huge cult movie, and once we went to the midnight showings, the thing was a dog. But once it went to the midnight showings and screwballs started getting into it, I'm sure there's a couple that listen to the show.
Hello. One. I like it.
What?
I liked it.
You went to the midnight things? You got all dressed up?
Of course. No, I didn't get dressed up. I watched all the other people do all their funny stuff. It was great.
He's got
no neck.
So it became this huge, weird underground thing for a decade or more.
Yeah.
And so at some point, I think it was about 5 or 6 years ago, these guys decided they're going to do version 2, Rocky Horror Picture Show 2. But instead of making a straight film that turned into a cult classic because it was naturally corny, they decided to make it corny.
Oh, yeah, that's not good.
You know, they thought they'd try a meta approach. In other words, we're going to make a campy movie. This is like people that say, I want you to come to work for me, and the first thing I want you to do is to develop about 5 viral videos.
Right.
You can't do a viral. Right. You can't do one. I mean, it either happens or it doesn't. You can't. Right.
It's like Google. You know what? I always tell my kids, if you say you're cool, you're not. You're cool like the font. He just was. And people knew that. It's like when you have to say it, you're not. It's like what they seem to be doing here. It's like they're having to prove something, which they do, by the way. They do have to prove this something against Facebook, which has everybody and they have nobody in terms of the social aspect.
Yeah, it's because nobody at the company is that social. I mean, one of the things that you – it's like Microsoft's the same way. I mean, they're a bunch of introverts. And they don't have any real desire. I mean, of course, I can't say Zuckerberg's the most sociable guy I've ever seen.
I was thinking that.
But
too.
He wanted to get a date, and he knew the angles about it. I mean, he studied it, and he put together some system that he understood it. And these guys don't. And so they will always be one step behind until somebody at the company figures it out. But the problem is, it's one of those things that if you're not heading the company and you can just push your ideas through, which happened to be correct, you'll never get your ideas through a committee.
Right.
I remember the time, another anecdote. I'm anecdotal today.
Oh, that's good.
So I'm the editor. When I started my Inside Track column, which became very successful for about 25 years, going from InfoWorld to PC Magazine, I began the column on the inside of InfoWorld. And I made it a crazy column with funny kind of highlights and all the rest. It was kind of a screwball column in terms of the way it was laid out. it would have never gotten past any editor. I just so happened to be the editor.
Ah, that works.
And I think that's the same thing with these sorts of projects. You know, just a group of people putting them together and say, let's do a Facebook thing. Unless they did what I don't understand somebody hasn't done, which is just clone Facebook in the old-fashioned Microsoft way. Yep. Take Facebook and just clone it.
Yeah, Gbook. Call it Gbook.
Do everything exactly the same until you get the hang of it, and then you can start to tweak it.
Or until you get sued.
I don't know. It might not be, you know, it might not be something you can sue over, because I think there's, Google had Orkut long before Facebook came around.
That's true. Anyway, enough of Facebook. Let's talk about Zynga.
Yeah.
Online social gaming company Zynga. You know, the Farmville and Mafia Wars, and there's a poker game, I think, and
Wednesday,
all this great stuff.
Huh? Well, this looks like another long short one-two punch.
It's going to probably be a long, I think, on this one.
Yeah.
This one's been waited around for a long time, and they actually have revenues.
Oh.
And they actually look like they're pretty solid here, at least from the outside.
Okay.
And this is a very, very cool company. And this is a company that didn't push to get an IPO without just, backup. So this could be interesting. I'm actually interested in this one. This is they make all these games. They have a great following. They have a great process. They're very, speaking of viral, they put these together, viral games. Hey, listen, any company that can get people to buy sheep for a virtual farm, I think I'm impressed with.
Yeah, that's what it's come down to.
I mean, seriously, that's what they do.
Yeah.
You can buy feed for your cows.
This is like they're selling ice boxes to Eskimos kind of thing.
Yeah, you got to respect a company like that. And they can
not
do it
necessarily.
The people are doing it with their own free will.
Yeah, I guess.
And this is, remember when I talked about glue? Remember I talked about that? The glue We still hold glue ourselves, and actually it was up 17% today.
Wow. Your pick, it's not on the list anymore. You bailed or you got kicked off.
We got kicked off the list because it went from, I think, 4 and change down to 4-something.
Looks like a good short then.
It was, but it's been doing very nicely in the last few weeks, and because of the Zynga.
Oh, because of Zynga.
Yep. We have actually alerts in the office that look for the news on Zynga to see what's going on, to see how that will affect glue. Because this is going to be a big test of really the virtual gaming. There's nobody else out there. Who else is out there that does this, that is a standalone? There's nobody.
No. Nobody, I think a lot of people missed the boat on that.
Yeah. So this is going to be cool. They're going to raise up to $2 billion. And if you have an opportunity, Zynga, just go look at the story about this company, how they operate. This is a cool factor company with Xbox 360s everywhere. That you go into their gaming room, you're not allowed to talk business. They have beer parties every Friday night or something like that. It's the kind of place you want to work.
Yeah, I guess so.
Lots of things going on. I don't know where to start. Greece is all over the place. We'll get to that in a second. The first woman to lead the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, is Lagarde, who is obviously following the footsteps, the empty commentary and absolute rhetoric of Jean-Claude Trichet, probably one of the most, seasoned spin meisters that I've ever seen.
Yeah, we had predicted this, the No Agenda show, over a month ago, that she was going to get it. It had to happen because Jean-Claude Trichet was French, and he didn't finish his term out as a Frenchman. They had to put a French person in, but all these small countries wanted somebody from their country to run it. So they put a woman, French woman, and then you can say, well, we did a minority. We're not a minority, but we were not sexist anymore. And it's a whole thing. It took care of a lot of
Politics as usual, huh?
Yeah.
Seems that way. Treasury's got hit pretty well today. So when people are nervous, what they do is they go and buy, oftentimes to find investors buying bonds, buying treasuries. They push the yields down. They're going after the treasuries. The prices go up and the yields go down, okay? So there was a 5- and 7-year auction today. It turned out to be the worst of the year.
Hmm.
Now, we're just talking about just last week, the week before, we're talking about record low interest rates. So in other words, record high prices on treasuries because there was this fear factor. People were running to go grab treasuries.
Now you don't think it was because we were buying it? The government, the Federal Reserve was
they're still buying it. They're still buying.
Okay.
They're still buying, but yes, it's going to run out on June 30th with their initial program. There's already another program that's in place. But they started selling them today pretty rapidly in the last 2 days, actually. But the auction was the worst of the year, the highest rate comparative, and the lowest participation rate, which brings up the question, why is that? Is it because the budget talks and this concern about the U.S. financial stability? Is it just simply people aren't worried about the Greek situation, which is 5 a.m. tomorrow morning, by the way, the vote? Is it just a rotation because there's been such a great gain and it's the end of the quarter? I mean, it's a pretty interesting situation going on here. It's not really that healthy to see the selling going on, because if interest rates go up just ever so slightly, even a half a percent, the interest rate being paid on the amount of debt that we have outstanding as a country is enormous. It goes up just dramatically. There were some numbers out today that I think Larry Lindsay from the he wrote an op-ed in the Wall Street Journal, and he talked about how if interest rates got back to normalized levels, the numbers are staggering. Something like $4 or $5 trillion of additional interest will have to be paid over the next 10 years.
Wow,
yeah, that's trillion. Soon, what happens after trillion? What is after trillion? Really?
Quadrillion, I think.
Trillion, quadrillion. Wow.
I think.
Wow. Huh. Well. Whatever it is, it's a large number. The point is that, you know, right now everybody's very comfortable. When's the last time you heard somebody doing something for $1 million? Not even worth it anymore.
Nah. I heard some deal was going down today. I was looking at some merger. I forgot who it was. But they talked about it being a $600 million deal. I said, what's the point?
How did it even get on the radar?
I don't know. It's ridiculous.
Some guy from Citigroup embezzled or stole $19 million. I'm like, what is he going to get, like a week? What do you get for something like that? You know. Anyway, so that's an interesting development. You need to be watching the treasuries right now. We actually shorted treasuries a little while ago. We were kind of down on that. We reshorted them again today. In other words, looking for the price of the treasuries to actually move higher, move lower. Excuse me, the interest rate move higher, the prices move lower. So, you know, as people are not buying as much of this and there's not as much demand, and you don't have the Fed coming in with all guns blazing. Right?
Yeah. It's funny.
Muddy Waters. Remember who they are, right?
Right. What's the latest?
Today they mentioned, there was a mention. This is what the words were. Mention. I want you to focus on that. Mention of Spectrum Communications. They make a variety of the products. I think the antenna arrays for the iPhone and some other devices. And they're based out of China. So I noticed something. We like this company. Their numbers were great. But they started really just... We bought them and they started just ticking down. I said, you know what? There is some distribution. This is a few weeks ago. There's some distribution going in this name, and it's not right. Something's just not – it doesn't smell right, because they shouldn't be acting just this melancholy for a stock that just came out with great earnings. And so we cut the position. So time goes on. It goes down a little bit more. Well, today there's a discussion somewhere in the news that this Muddy Waters, the guy that took down a variety of stocks, that Sino Forest, et cetera, is mentioning Spreadtrum as a concern. Stock goes down within minutes, 30%. I put a chart on the attachment for you.
Yeah, I'm looking at it. It really just like...
Just caved in.
Caved, yeah.
Caved.
Whoa.
30%.
You know, yeah.
And then it recovered by the end of the day. So there was a nice little trade there. But interesting, this guy has some serious power, doesn't he?
Yeah, why?
I don't know. I really don't know. I mean, I think it's just... It has to be that he's selling his research to hedge funds. He's going in shorting. And I guess that the fear is there with all these names that have these potential companies that are vacant or at least to have really nothing behind them. And they see what happens to a company when these guys mention them. So their name comes across, you know, the ticker related to a certain company, and people get spooked.
Yeah, well, I wonder how he positions himself when he does this. Is he already short?
Yeah.
So he's short, and then he says, hey, you know, this is, I'm looking at this. And then it gets tanked, and then what does he buy up? It's like a pump and dump.
Yeah, I just thought of something.
Or a dump and pump, actually.
I don't recall the stock being halted today, now that I think about it. Usually if a stock will go down, it will be halted for a couple of minutes till it stabilizes. And then I don't recall it happening today. That's interesting, because they just expanded that whole short rule or the hold rule. I'm going to have to find out about that. Something is odd. especially if it goes down 10%. I mean, you see the chart. The chart is in 1 second, it went down 10, 12%.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, it just all of a sudden started rising the rest of the day. So the shorts were covering their positions and getting the heck out, realizing that it really wasn't anything to the story. But it was true that he did mention them and said there's some concerns that he has over their balance sheet or their cash flow statements from 2010, 2011.
You could probably say that about any Chinese company.
Yep. And I think they're, if you look at some of the Chinese companies, I mean, I think they're all on defense right now saying, hey, when's the next Muddy Waters mention going to come out?
Well,
some of these, you got to find some of these that would base out and be great buying opportunities. Squeeze the crap out of the shorts when it happens.
Yeah, it's too many stocks to follow.
Yeah,
it
no
seems
kidding.
Like a crapshoot unless he's doing this alphabetically. I don't know how you could.
Yeah, that's a good point. Well, that's the is. You got it. You hit it. What was the last one?
What was it?
Sinoforest.
Oh, maybe he is doing it alphabetically.
Yeah, so
what's
I think
the next,
so.
Look at the next I, J, K, L, M, P, Q, R, S, T. See if there's anything else with an S, or we're going to move into the R's.
We had Rhino. We had Rhino. Rhino, definitely, he tanked those, that guy already. Rhino.
Okay, well, then it's kind of out of order.
Yeah. Maybe he's going in. Maybe he's skipping around. I don't know. We'll have to find out the code. Maybe
skipping around.
We'll
have
to find
the code. Yeah, there's got to be yeah, actually, if you take a look at all his I bet you could decode it. You could figure it out if there's – because he's got to signal somebody somehow. It's always been my theory.
Well, he also sells his research to the hedge funds. One of the giveaways is a stock that reacts – I told you the stock was acting really, really funky 2 weeks ago. I said something's not right with this stock. It's just not right. There's way too much distribution going on here. In other words, selling on nothing. You know, good news comes out, they sell it. You know, the next day the markets are up, they sell it. So something was not right. So obviously they were all getting positioned. Anyway, we'll find out. Well, if worse comes to worse, we'll get the secret Dakota ring out of the Cheerios box.
Yeah,
and maybe that
it.
Will be that could actually work. So what do you think about Greece?
Well, this has been going on for a while. It's just, excuse me, hasn't been reported very well. It's just getting worse. I don't know. I've been following it as best I can. And the Greeks have this, before the EU, they had their own way of doing things, and they wanted to keep doing things that way, and it looks as though they can't because the system won't let them, and so they're irked about it.
Well, the individuals are irked because something went awry between the last few years of what they were supposed to do, the spending that was supposed to happen in the cuts, and really what happened in reality. So here's the question. If I was to tell you, here's the deal. Because of some technical difficulties, because of some issues, you're going to get less pay, John. You're going to get less retirement benefits. And we're also going to have fewer social programs in your community and everything that you enjoy. And on top of it, just to let you know, you're going to be paying higher taxes. How are you going to take that?
I would be irked about it, but I would also pull out my contract and say, no, you can't do that.
Well, government could do whatever they want.
Yeah, they can. But the fact is that there's been an agreement. I mean, people go, oh, the Greeks are a bunch of jerk-offs because, you know, look at them. They get to, retire at 80% salary at the age of 52, something like it, 52 or 55, but I think it was 52, which, wow, this is pretty cool. You know, you work and work and work, and then you retire at 52 at 80% salary, and you just live the life of Riley or start a small store or business. Mm-hmm. And that would be kind of the model that you were set up with. And people go, oh, this is terrible because these Greeks, look at this, they're just taking advantage of it. No, that was the agreement. If you were a Greek and, you know, the system was set up with this in mind, you followed along, you played by the rules, you did what you're supposed to do, and you expect to get your 52-year-old your huge pot of money. You were expecting it because it was promised to you. I mean, I can't fault the people for being annoyed by the fact that everyone's trying to pull the rug out from under them out of Brussels. And the Greeks are going, you know, they have to do something to balance their books because the EU will kick them out, although they won't. That's bull crap.
No, all this is about one thing. By the way, nobody gives a damn about Greece when it comes to this. What they care about is the default of the Greek debt. This is what this is going on, right? They care about the default of the Greek debt and the reverberations throughout the financial markets if that happens, in particular to Germany and to France. This is all self-centered financially. It has nothing to do with anything else, and they don't give a damn about the people.
Yeah, no, I realize that. Now, one of the things I've noticed on all the financial shows, when they bring the experts in, especially CNBC World. It's always the same song and dance. And they say, well, you know, it's inevitable that Greece is going to default. It's inevitable. It's inevitable. It was seemed to be, at least on the European shows and the Asian shows, Asia Squawk Box and those shows, all these experts came on and they all said it was inevitable. I'm not buying that. I think they're going to get bailed out.
Yeah, they'll be bailed out this one. See, again, understand that this particular vote that they have tomorrow morning, again, of course, everything's down to the wire, is about cutting of about $110 billion out of the budget. $110 billion. By the way, when a few years ago George Bush put in a $250 billion stimulus package, everybody was just absolutely hysterically happy. We're talking about a country with a GDP much smaller, exponentially smaller than the U.S. with $110 billion.
California.
Right. Remember, $500 billion was the amount that was put into the Chinese economy 2 years ago that set them on fire for 1.3 billion people. I don't know the exact number of people in Greece, but it's nowhere near that.
Right.
So you're taking $112 billion of cuts in order to get a $16 billion loan, which the math doesn't work for me, on the first tranche. And then hopefully, by the way, this is in hope, that will satisfy the next level of another $160 billion of required loans, because Greece can't go to the markets anymore because their rates are 20-25% for a Greek bond. And the big issue right now is that what's being floated is some kind of a deal from France where they've convinced the banks to retire 70% of their debt from that's coming due into 30-year bonds. So in other words, they can extend out their bonds and take a significant haircut on part of what they had. In other words, what may be inevitable anyway, even if the vote comes and they say, yes, they can do this somehow, that you're going to find that it's going to be a default. And that's maybe what they're talking about, because there's no way to get around the fact that everybody wants to sell their darn bonds in Greece. Greece can't have that happen. The EU can't have that happen. And the EU can't have Greece default, because then all the books will be damaged for all the banks that are holding their debt. It's an absolute – I'd use a different word if it was a different show. But it's a disaster no matter what happens, really.
A cluster something or other.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly the word. I mean, it's really a disaster no matter what happens. And then you have the secondary problem that if Greece does not go ahead with this and they default and there is some kind of an impairment, that the countries like Italy – and Ireland are next in line, because there's going to be an impairment there because nobody's going to want to buy their bonds.
Yeah, no, I think it's Portugal next and then Ireland. Italy, I don't know where they're sitting.
Italy is not good.
I have to assume that Italy, the sharp operators, I mean, and they have scammed the EU somehow. These countries, a lot of them have just basically scammed the EU. I mean, the Spanish, and they admit it to when I was visiting there a couple months ago, and I took the road. It was a big article in the New York Times about some of these crazy projects, because they had all this money, and instead of just, saying, putting it in the bank or investing it, they built stuff, and then they said, hey, we ran out of money. That was a loan. You would say, we thought you just gave us the money, kind of thing. So there's this freeway, and it's about a 90-mile long freeway, I think 60 to 90 miles, something like that, from Madrid to Toledo, mm-hmm. which is pronounced – it looks like Toledo, but it's pronounced some Toledo. And so, which is a great little town. So I went out to visit. We came back on it's a toll road. You don't have to pay much. You get on this thing. It's beautiful. It's, I believe it's four lanes, got overpasses, and it goes through the middle of nowhere. There's nothing. There's no houses like Highway 5 in California. It's basically nothing for the whole 90 miles. The entire 90-mile return back, we saw a total of one car.
Yeah.
90 miles, one car. There was never a car on our side of the road, and one car on the other side of the road zoomed by, and that was it.
And what do you say? Is this just not use for it, or nobody wants to pay the toll?
Nobody wants to pay the toll.
They don't want to pay the toll, and
they can't
afford
it.
Traffic.
It's like $5 or something to get on the thing.
Wow. Anyway, so this whole issue here is, you know, coming to a head, at least most of it's coming to a head immediately tomorrow to see if even they get past the budget issues. And one of the things they're doing, they took our idea, by the way. You remember we talked about what they could do to really offset some of these problems? Well, they are selling some coastal land. They're going to be selling planes and trains as well. So it's kind of like a gigantic Greek garage sale.
Wow.
Pretty sad.
Well, you know, if you can sell the I, what you should do, sell the I. Here's what I would do. But, of course, I'd be a better off in Latin America doing this kind of a scam. Sell all the islands you want to. Sell them. Get all your money back. Get back to a good balanced budget. And then have some other, you know, have the government change of some sort. And then see if you can get away with nationalizing the islands and kicking all those people out.
Right, or do it like they did in The Producers. Maybe sell the islands multiple times to multiple places.
To old ladies.
Yeah. You know, you sell one-eighth piece of it to like 600 people.
Yeah, timeshare.
Timeshare, that's good. I like that. We'll have a new Greek island timeshare. Nice.
I own this island today.
I'm a proud owner of a Greek island. All right, I want you to help me with something. Something struck me this weekend. President Obama put out his weekly address, you know, the weekly Saturday radio address.
Yeah.
And he had a new jobs plan, an employment plan, something to help out this whole horrible employment situation. And he was at Carnegie Mellon, and he said that one of the things that we need to do, and one of the, I guess the ideas he got was from Carnegie Mellon, one of the companies that were there, was to create robotics to help out the manufacturing and streamline the whole process and to create greater efficiencies in a variety of industries. And that would require a lot of people to work on those robotics, to create the robotics. So far, so good, right?
I wonder, have you ever heard of Cincinnati Millicron or any of these robot companies that are already doing this?
Well, but he may be using some of these. He may be putting federal money into this. Now, here's my problem. Are you telling me that robots can't eventually be programmed to create other robotics?
Oh, you're just looking at it from the logical yeah. Yeah, obviously.
How stupid is this? Is that not – how is it going to save jobs if you have robotics? Isn't the point of robotics so that you have more efficiency so you don't have to have jobs?
Yeah, robotics and computers are to get people to get rid of people.
I don't understand. One generation of robotics kills the entire staff of whatever company that created it.
You know, Obama's never had a job that I know of. He worked at a university and he was a campaign guy and the teaching assistant and worked for the government and was a senator. I don't think he's ever had a job.
I'm okay with that, but he took an economics class,
he doesn't get it.
He took a business class.
Did he?
I assume he took a business class. I mean, just the idea of robotics is just so – it infuriates me. It does.
What do you think they should be doing? Shovel ready.
You know what I think? I think that it seems that it's high time for IBM's – what was the name of that? The one that was on Jeopardy.
Watson.
Remember that? Watson, I think, could be the entire administration at this point. Get rid of the president.
Yeah, the problem is you'd have to give the speech in the form of a question.
Oh, yeah. How stupid is robotics? That's the question. Anyway, so I don't know. I got a lot of email about that when I talked about it on last week's – I did a podcast and I put up a couple of posts about it. Hmm. But, you know, I thought it – honestly, I really – I guess there is some benefits in some areas. But if you're doing it for a job creation, it just is so short-lived. I don't even know. I don't even know how to compare it to anything. It's just so ridiculous. Anyway – there's a new train in China.
Yeah, another train. There was a good article. I think it was in the New York Times maybe, talking about China overbuilding. You know, they're completely out of whack. 60% of their GDP is from construction, and as much as they sell, and they build all these trains. Now they got a whole slew of these. The frequency between the Shanghai and Beijing line with the bullet trains, which will be running at not that fast, 186 miles an hour, which isn't bad, I think is something like 100 trains a day or something going back and forth.
Really?
Or more. I mean, it's just everything is completely out of whack. And nobody's going to take these. Apparently, nobody's taking these trains. It costs $270 to get there. And it's. I think the trains. This train is. They're cool. And
how
I
long does it take? Do you think? How long does it take from Beijing to Shanghai?
I can't remember the distance, but I know on a plane it takes a couple hours. It's like from Seattle to San Francisco kind of distance. I think. Mm-hmm. I'll look it up.
It's quite possible that you and I will be talking. I'll have the on the ground live report about this next week.
Yes, in China. You're going to take the train?
I don't know, but maybe it's something that I should do, and we could bring it all to our listeners. They even have internet on there. I could probably do that. For $270 for business class,
take a lot of pictures.
But I think I'm going to check this out. If I could bring this little portable microphone with me, I'm going to have my computer. I got Wi-Fi, MiFi devices for China and for where else am I going? Vietnam. So I have those devices, and I'll have internet everywhere.
664 miles.
So we're talking about 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah, 3.5 hours.
Yeah, it takes about an hour and a half, 2 hours on a plane.
Right.
And of course, where's beautiful new airports? The planes are actually a better way to go, it seems to me.
Why did they build it? Oh, they built it just like anything else. They built it so they can make jobs.
I guess.
Probably. Yeah. Anyway, let's see what else we have here. Lots of things. Blagojevich was found guilty. Okay, that's great. Moving along from there. Have you looked at the big banks lately?
No, which ones?
J.P. Morgan, Goldman
Sachs. No, I haven't
Sachs.
Looked at any of the banks.
Oh, they're horrible. Even with a recent rally, I mean, Goldman Sachs is down 23% year-to-date. J.P. Morgan's only down 6%. Morgan Stanley down 18%. Bank of America down 19%. And
we weren't shorting those things on our little stock thing?
Yeah. We had actually had
Didn't I have a short on Bank of America at one time?
I think so. I believe so. And you made some money on it, and I think it turned around a bit. And this is what happens. You know, they can become in favor, out of favor. But you have, number one, you have regulations and regulatory oversight, legislation issues that are just attacking the banks left and right. Goldman Sachs is in the hot seat constantly. Huh. You know, they recently were downgraded because of trading revenues. You know, they downgrade each other. By the way, I don't think the banks should rate the other banks. There seems to be an inherent conflict there.
Yeah, I mean, and if I was one of the banks, what are you giving me? I'm giving you you're giving me a AA-. I'm giving you a B.
Not only that, why would you say that if your closest competitor? I mean, this is what I think. If J.P. Morgan downgrades Bank of America or Goldman Sachs, is it also because they know that their internals aren't looking so good? So isn't it kind of like a self downgrade?
Yeah, maybe there's more to it. I mean, they're saying, oh, I don't know. Look at these numbers. Oh, these are looking like our numbers. Oh, that can't be good.
Yeah, exactly. So these are down. The stock charts look awful. Even in the rallies the last couple of days, they were down. Hmm. Goldman's looking really ugly, down in about 130s or so. And, you know, you have the issue of Bank of America. I think there was some deal tonight about a $9 billion payment for some of the mortgage issues. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, no
I mean,
kidding.
You know, So and then you have the Fed's going to be stepping off the pedal. You have the Basel rules that came in with extra capital requirements for systematically important banks. I mean, it's just all the things that happened over the last 2 years to prop up the banks seem to be collapsing right on them. Not to mention, there's nothing better in the mortgage and housing area either. As a matter of fact, today came out the Case-Shiller number. Which is the number that looks at the values of the homes. And there was so much excitement because it was up month over month. First month in a long time, we saw a month over month up of the prices of houses. But what's interesting is that's not what we look at. The number that we look at is the year over year. That's the standard looking at, you know, smooths it out a little bit, looks at what happened over last year to this year. You know, it was down 4%, which was more than anticipated.
That's not good. But
everybody was excited about it. Better number. I'm like, where's the better number? What did I miss? Now, I'll tell you something else that happened. The number came out at 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock. At 8:35 this morning, there was all of a sudden this jumping of the S&P futures and the Dow futures with no news. And I said, you know, I bet that Case-Shiller is going to come out hot. And lo and behold, it came out better on the monthly, so there was good news on it somewhere at least. Found somewhere inside there was good news. And I found it very interesting that the S&P futures were popping on no news at 25 minutes prior. Do we think there was possibly a leak?
Sounds like one to me.
Yeah. I think it'll be investigated.
No.
Do you think if it was the
if it was Martha Stewart, you know, maybe they'd throw her in jail, but they're not going to do anything real.
Yeah, something's not right. I mean, you know, if it was the other way around, if the Case-Shiller number was really bad and the market moved lower at 8:35, you know there'd be all sorts of news items about this. Hmm. Oh, there was a leak and it caused the markets to go down and we're going to get to the bottom of this. And just like what, hey, that happened last week with the oil. About an hour prior to the release of the IEA putting 60 million barrels between the U.S. and oil was shooting down 2 or 3%.
Yeah, somebody pointed that out to me, and it's like another thing they want to investigate.
Right. Although they at least said they were going to investigate that. It's all the same. It's a big joke. All right, let's see what else we have here. Post office. Can you believe this? Listen, are you sitting? The post office is out of money.
How does that work?
It seems that they're stopping prepayments into the healthcare retirement fund, citing a fiscal emergency, which let me translate that to you if you don't know what that means. Ready? Here it goes. Ready? Stamp prices are going up. Now, with the advent – listen, if people won't drive on a highway with no traffic for a few bucks, why would you use a regular mail if you have digitally encrypted and signed PDFs as well as emails? I mean, how many letters do you – and faxes. How many letters that you used to send do you not send anymore because, number one, bill payment is all online. Number two, there's just no need to send a letter when you can have it all scanned and automatically taken care of. I think we send out like 3 letters a week from my office.
Yeah. I send out a couple letters once in a while. Not as many. I mean, I got more stamps backed up than I have things to mail.
Yeah, then you got to weigh it, and you always don't know if it's never exact. You don't know exact. You know, it's never exact.
Oh, no, I've got a good scale. Go buy a good scale. They don't only cost about $25 at electronic one. Nails it.
We have that one that hooks into the post office that automatically you weigh it and it puts the thing on it, so it's right.
Cool.
But the thing is that still, you know, no question. Now I have a friend who works at the post office, in the postal service, and I had it was about maybe 5 months ago. I said, "Oh, the post office. You know, how are they doing? It seems like they're always in the in the red." And he was just so angry, saying that that's not true. It is a big cover-up. The Postal Service has been profitable every single year since its existence. And that all this has to do with that they're taking money out of the Postal Service to put it to other places to make the Postal Service look bad.
Mm-hmm. I know this is true.
Is it true?
Yeah. There was a big C-SPAN thing on the investigation on this. They had a congressional hearing, and one of these guys came up with this. I think it's probably where he got the information too, because it went around pretty quickly. And he documented the fact that the post office makes tons of money, and it gets stolen by the federal government because they basically have a chargeback on some things. So with a bunch of creative bookkeeping, they're losing their ass.
Nice. So now that not only they're doing that, but the postal workers are not going to get certain benefits paid into their – they're going to get IOUs into the healthcare and retirement fund in terms of prepayments, so they're not as guaranteed, if you will. And then also, I'm certain that this is all a PR deal, so that the stamps are going to go up in price.
Yeah, that and – yeah. No, I think that your friend is right. Mm-hmm. I've heard reports – that confirm this. Nobody's talking about it, and it is probably a cover up.
Well, and then we have the other cover up, or at least the other situation that's going on. It seems that Ron Paul, the representative, he's speculating that the gold that is owned by the United States in, I guess, Fort Knox, is not there. It disappeared.
Yeah. If anybody wants to watch, go to the Dvorak.org/blog, and I have that his entire hearing in Congress. It's an hour long. It's a little lengthy, where he talks about this. And he says nobody from Congress has been shown one bar of gold in Fort Knox or been taken into the place for the last 40 years. He thinks that's all. He believes it might be all gone, and nobody's saying otherwise.
Well, the thing is that the door into the vault is sealed. It's not allowed to be open. No one's allowed to get in there. But seemingly once, I don't know how often, the Treasury Inspector General. And he says, yes, it's all there. Last I looked, it's all there.
Last time I was in the neighborhood.
Yeah. Last time I looked, we opened it up. We, you know, we had a quick picnic outside of the door. We opened it up. And, you know, we need Geraldo Rivera to open that up.
Yeah. And if things go as planned, there'll be nothing in there, just like his other vault.
Right. Right. Exactly. We'll find we'll probably find Jimmy Hoffa.
You know? That's good.
You know,
finally, I mean, something good.
I mean, but where would the gold go? I mean, I don't understand.
I don't know.
And what's the point of the gold anyway?
It's baffling.
I mean, we have all these people that nobody ever sees it. Trust me, it's there. And, you know, I don't know. You know, it's what are we going to use it for if you could never go in there? It's the whole thing is it gets odder and odder by the day, doesn't it?
Bling.
It's just nuts. All right, John. I want you to get serious. I want you to give me a hallelujah.
Yeah, hallelujah.
You know why, right?
Yeah, the Pope tweets.
He tweets. Last I looked, he has 13,000 followers. He used an iPad. There was a little video or a little picture of him using an iPad.
If he plugged it a little better, he'd rack his numbers up a bit more.
Yeah?
Well, what has he got to say?
Here's what he said. Let me tell you what his tweet was. He says, "Dear friends, I just launched..." This is obviously he had a PR firm help him with this. "I just launched news.va. Praise be the Lord Jesus Christ. With my prayers and blessing, Benedictus, 16. To follow the news, go to news_va_en. Now, you think he could have had like Pope. Just follow Pope close with God or something like that, you know? But he has to have this really crazy news_va_en, which I assume he has to have probably an SP and things like that, too, when it's translated.
I have no idea what the point is. Yeah, it should be the Pope, the real Pope.
Yeah, the Pope. And you know what? If somebody has it, Twitter should remove the other party.
Yeah, this guy's the Pope.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like it should say something like God approved the Pope.
God. Verified.
You know, verified by God, the Pope. So, you know, have a little, God verification sticker on his thing to know it's the real guy. So, I don't know. I mean, it's 13,000 followers. It seems like that it was a site that was there anyway, and he just came on it, and he now launched this new site, this news.va, which...
I wonder if he's going to put stuff on there like, "I'm eating lunch at McDonald's." Or "I'm having a glass of wine."
Right. Do you think it's necessary to have the bulletproof glass when I drive around in that car?
Yeah.
How do I get the bulletproof glass car to be a little less stuffy? You know? Anyway, so that's going on there. Lots of interesting things. Also, I just mentioned that Investors Business Daily, great, this is not a plug, but it's not a commercial. I'm just telling you a point here. That they have this special free offer for the next few weeks. So just to check it out. You get like the whole site and all their different research and all that for free till, I don't know, mid-July.
Oh.
And it's pretty cool because they have some really good things. I read their paper every day. Actually, I get the digital version on the iPad. Very cool. And I'm actually having Scott O'Neill, who's the son of William O'Neill, who is the creator of this and the person behind all of this and the writer of books, great investor. Anyway, he works there and he's also a great investor. He's going to be on my podcast this week. So you should tune into that and figure out how to get this free offer. I think you just go to the site and there's something that you just click there or something at investors.com. But I say that because it just, you know, why not? If it's free for whatever, a few weeks. It's
yeah, why cool. not?
Pretty cool.
All right, so let's take a look at our stocks.
Okay, got them. All right. Now, obviously, before John says anything, just to make sure you know that you can find these by going to DH Unplugged. There's a little link at the bottom of each of the show notes that says DH Unplugged Weekly Stocks, and it's on a Google spreadsheet, soon to be converted, obviously, to a Microsoft spreadsheet for $6 a month. No, actually, I don't know if they're going to have this kind of
Yeah, will Microsoft have this kind of functionality? I doubt it.
I don't think so. They pretty much killed their Microsoft Money site.
Yeah. Crazy.
Yeah, that was a great site.
It was, and what was the point of killing it? And then starting this up, and now they won't have these features because, you know, Google has their money site like Yahoo, and so they can create these features and they can go tap their own information, their own database, and give people a real value add. In fact, value add, it's free.
Yeah, yeah. So what's cool is you do conditional formatting. So when we insert, for example, that we're going to short something, it automatically will calculate it correctly. When we're up or down on a position, it will show it red or green automatically. And it actually pulls the data right from the Google Finance site, live data from the Google Finance site to show what the stock is. And you can link things there so that you can just click it and find out more information. It's really neat. So check out that spreadsheet. And just to mention that this is not a recommendation to buy or sell any security. It's just a little game we play of, you know, what looks interesting and what could be an interesting thing to look at. Do your own research. Investments carry the risk of losing lots of money or gaining lots of money, but you have to know what your risk is. So there you go. All right, hit it.
Well, we have a couple of dogs that cropped up. OpenText.
OpenText.
Novo Nordisk. What is that? This is never going to get anywhere. I should just – it's too bad.
And that's a good company. It's a pretty
surprise.
Yeah,
I know. It's weird. But you're the big winner here with the, at least with what's on here, because everything else has been stopped out. But you've got that Albemarle or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. A chemical company.
Chemical company, which is just chugging along. Everything else on there, except for the other long that's doing well is IBM. And then you have a couple of shorts that seem to be performing. The JCPenney's has not come around.
Yeah, nobody's gotten the point yet that it's still a dog.
It's not dying.
Can I tell you something, though? You want to know what's surprising? You know, with all the misery and people saying about the economy and all the bad things and all that, retail is on fire. I mean, on fire. If you look at stocks like, we have Crocs on here. That's retail. I mean, it's clothing or retail.
Yeah, the funny thing is I went with my wife and daughter to Nordstrom's Rack like a few days ago. The line to get out of that place was a quarter mile long. It was astonishing how many people are shopping, even though it's, you know, it's rack shopping. I mean, they're shopping at discounts, and Costco's packed kind of thing. I think retail is noticeably energetic.
Yeah, and especially some of the high names. I mean, like we own a Lululemon. Oh, my gosh. Hit an all-time high. Hmm. Look at a Fossil. Just cruising along. It's amazing, quite amazing. So, but on the list, a couple of things. We actually moved into a long position of oil a couple of days ago and made a few percent and moved out of it on that big dip. We still own it here. We were up about, I have to see if they actually, I don't think we were stopped out on this, but we were up about 22% last week, I guess, on this. The ultra short. Yeah, the ultra short oil, two time, is up 17%. C-Trip made a big run today, all the way back. Bridgeport Education, just hanging in there. If it does break out, it has an extraordinarily high level of short interest in it, about a 50% short of float. So there's a lot of people betting against the educational names. But this company seems to have a pretty good balance sheet and a very good cash flow, and their recent earnings were dynamic. So that was pretty interesting. Silver. Still, that silver's looking pretty good here. Actually, silver hit $33.50 yesterday.
Yeah,
got crushed. I mean, there's not much on the way. There's not much on the way down from here, down to 32 and change. So it's going to kind of vacillate in between here. Tomorrow will be a big day for it either way, depending on what happens with Greece. Your friend Finder got a little bid today, but still rocking along, up 29%. But it's nice to see that both the shorts and the longs are performing, generally speaking.
Bless you.
I'm sneezing.
I'm allergic
on the
truth. To Cisco. So the next
as the Pope would tweet, God bless you.
So the longs and the shorts are working, which indicate there's kind of a bouncy little in between action going on. Mm-hmm. And we only have one new thing that anyone's thought about, which is you. And you have got Expediter, a wacky one.
No, this is a transportation company, trucking. You know, you've seen Expediter's trucks.
I have?
And I'm sure you have. Yeah,
no, I think
you have.
They have like, no, I don't think
they have like a
here.
Blue. No, okay. Well, they're a trucking company, and we got a sell signal on them yesterday, or I guess this morning. And we started actually shorting them for our clients, which we'll put that little note on the on the list here. But Expeditors, you know, will have some problems if oil prices go up. The stock is sitting on a downtrend. It had a nice little bounce here. And we think that, you know, that was a good entry into the short position. And if it does break down a bit, it goes down. Now, I will say that we're not going to hold this long if it does break up above, we'll say, 51 and change for us. We're not going to really hold on to this very long. But it does look like if it breaks down, it could really break down pretty hard, especially if there is any kind of economic slowdown.
So what's your target, 33?
About 12% lower.
Because it's bottomed at 33.65.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to – I mean, sometimes we look at things that are either going to just, you know, get crazy on the upside or really get crushed. This is something that, you know, we're hoping – it looks like about a 10 to 12% downside if it does break that direction.
Okay.
So we have that on there. Oil, you know, we'll play with it where it is here. You know, I would naturally sell it out at this point, but, you know, it still has an opportunity. They're really trying to keep the price of oil down. And then we have to look. I don't know when it's going to come out, but Zynga would be a position that I would definitely enter into. I hope it. We're lucky enough that when it does come out, we're going to have a little bit of an opportunity to be ahead of it before the actual. I don't know.
Well, you want to put it on the list?
It's not live. I don't even know what the symbol is. I mean, I can put it on the list. I'd like to buy it long, so we could. I'll put it on the list, and for when it comes out, if it comes out before the next time we talk.
All right.
That would go long, and I don't really have a short position that I would look at for that, but
yeah, you're probably right.
I mean,
this will be the
few.
One that triggers more IPOs of lousy companies. They need. I mean, we haven't had anything decent for a while, and so now this will get the people jacked up again. It'll probably triple.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it definitely could. This is going to be, I think, very over. I've been looking forward to this for a while. So if I'm looking forward to it, I would think it's a lot of other players that are looking forward too. So.
Yeah, I think so too. All right. Well, we'll take a look at this, and we'll be. You're going to be gone, so we may or may not do a show next week.
Yeah, I'm hoping sometime next week because the hours will work out really well for me, especially with you on the West Coast and the time change. It will be pretty much perfect for me.
Yeah, we can try.
We'll figure it out, and then as long as I have internet and as long as I have a microphone, I can yammer along.
Well, you'll have an internet, good internet in China. Vietnam is a little sketchy.
Right.
But there is it. I was. You can. The hotel should have good internet, and you should be able to at least do this.
Right.
And but when you're out, God knows where you're going. I looked at your schedule. It's like.
And by the way, somebody, you know what? We had a listener who I guess heard that I was going to Vietnam recommend a tour guide, and my wife looked into it, and we're actually using his tour guide.
Okay.
So thank you very much for that. That was actually a very, very good suggestion.
Well, Vietnam is endlessly fascinating.
I'm looking forward to it.
I think it's probably going to be, especially but budget to buy stuff, because they have art and lacquerware. Lacquerware is astonishing.
And I have to go, isn't that the place to get the suits, or is that China, you told me, right?
No, suits are really, at least from my perspective, I didn't see any tailors in Vietnam that I was jacked up, but the suit seems to be. I think your best bet for suits is Taiwan and Korea.
Next time,
and there may be some tailors in China that are worth the power. I've never isolated any, so I don't know. I mean, if you find something, let me know. I know Hong Kong is definitely not the place to get any of that stuff.
Right.
It's extremely overpriced, which is still cheaper than you get to cost you here, and they're not as amenable to like doing fancy stuff.
Right.
So anyway, okay. Well, we'll hopefully do another show next week. Otherwise, we'll do it again when you get back. But we'll take a whack at it.
All right. I'll see you then.
All right. Bye.
You've been listening in on a conversation with John C. Dvorak and Andrew Horowitz. Hope to be with you again soon. Bye bye.
Now, I'm not broke, but badly bent. I'm not down to my last cent, 'cause I got a dollar, but it's my last dollar bill. Yes, sir. In my pockets, there's a dent. All my dough is nearly spent, but I got a dollar, and it's my last dollar bill. Oh, I'd love just one more buck fortune left me by chance. Now, here's a hint, I feel like a mint. You can hardly tell by a glance. I don't care, no millionaire can give me the icy stare, 'cause I got a dollar, my last dollar bill.